Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the conversation started with us, and I think it's an interesting one, is Kevin Stefanski, the Browns, J.B. Bickerstaff. And then the last segment, before we went to a couple calls, I answered this, but I don't think you got a chance to. Because he might be the guy that gets you off the ground floor but doesn't get to the penthouse, doesn't mean that we have to rush the decision on him, unless you think the obvious guy is in the building. But pretty much, like, there will be another Mike Vrabel. As much as I like Mike and think it just makes total sense, think he would speak to the fan base in a way that the Ivy Leaguers just doesn't. So you'd have your mix of really, really smart people with a guy who's really, really smart but speaks to the average Clevelander or the average Northeast Ohioan. And oh, by the way, has won a bunch of football games as well. Is a really smart head coach.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'd be going backwards. That, to me, is the best of both worlds. But again, that doesn't mean you have to fire. Like, I think Kevin is the J.B. Bickerstaff of the Cleveland Browns. That doesn't mean you have to make that move now.
Yeah,
you have to make it in time.
I also think, like, we got to look at this in the proper perspective, right? Like, Mike Vrabel, for instance, I think he's too successful of a head coach to be lumped into then, that's now Kenny Atkinson. Yeah, because the Cavs did have to roll the dice here. It's not as if Atkinson was some sort of awesome head coach in Brooklyn. He was well-perceived. People liked him, Nick, but he wasn't what Vrabel was with Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, Vrabel was kind of around the NFL looked at as like kind of the wunderkind, which is interesting because, I mean, they had really four winning seasons out of six seasons.
Yeah, I mean, but we had a guy in that covers Golden State. I can't remember who exactly it was. I was going to ask Keith before the show.
But we had call him Mike.
Let's call him Mike. It actually seems like it might have been a Mike.
More Tim.
Nah, it was more Mike than it was Tim.
Bruce?
He talked so much crap about Atkinson and the time that he was there with Golden State. Like, when we did the whole, like, what coach are they going to hire?
Yeah.
He talked so much about how Atkinson isn't the right guy. Atkinson is problematic. Atkinson is this. Atkinson. Like, it's not a slam dunk. For Vrabel, seems like a slam dunk to many NFL fans.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But just because they went from JB to Kenny Atkinson doesn't mean you're following the same formula. Like, I to me, this is more about Kevin. But do you think, by the way, like, when we get back to that question, if, because you agree, right? You think Kevin is their J.B. Bickerstaff?
I think Kevin is the type of guy that can get you to a good spot. That's like what I think Kevin, when it's all said and done 15 years from now, I think will be perceived in a very similar way that J.B. Bickerstaff is perceived around the league, where it's like he can get you to a good spot. He's a good head coach. But that's about all that he's going to be good for there. And so, I hate that for Kevin, but that's just how I see it as of right now. And I defend Kevin often, but it's just how I think this is shaping out.
So if that is the case, and if the Browns agree with your assessment by the end of this season, does that mean you have to fire him?
I'm not there. I'm not there at the firing thing. Okay. I'm not there
and
yet.
And by the way, neither am I.
And I do think it. I think a caller last segment made a really good point about the position that the Cavs are in relative to the position the Browns are in. Atkinson is inheriting a core four. He's inheriting four guys that make $200 million. If you move off of Stefanski, like right now, next season, you might be back in that basement that you would need the type of guy that is Kevin Stefanski to go ahead and bring you back to a good spot.
Yeah, but I don't think those guys are... Okay, you can do worse from here, and that should be noted. You can do worse from here. But I think this job is more attractive now from the stability standpoint, and people are going to look at Myles Garrett and Denzel, and if JOK is healthy, and they're going to look at this and go, well, 2 years ago it was an 11-win team. This isn't the same thing as it had been You know, Kevin was the fourth head coach in 3 years with, I think it was four different play callers, with a quarterback you didn't choose. Like, there's talent here, and you get to pick your quarterback over the next 2 years.
How does someone like Ben Johnson perceive this job?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that. I don't think he's kind of the bell of the ball. Then again, I mean,
a Bobby Slowick, someone like that. You know what I mean? Some of these, and you're right. Ben Johnson's the bell of the ball, but like, how do those guys perceive this job?
That's another guy I want to hire. I want an experienced guy from here, and I think that's really important. I think if you go back to another guy who doesn't have experience, do you know what I think you're saying?
By the way, I agree with you on that, and that's why I mentioned Kingsbury earlier, because it's one of those, we were playing in that same realm of coaches. Like, they have the experience, they have that to themselves.
Yeah, but I'd like a good experience former NFL head coach.
You're not a Kingsbury guy. It's noted.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Pee Wee football coach. I will also call you Mike.
Guys, it's so frustrating to listen to idiots talk about Coach Stefanski in a negative way. Here's bottom line. Like, I'm a four-time, maybe 12-time coach of the year for Pee Wee football because my sole purpose is finding the best athlete, the best runner, the biggest one, the strongest one. I give him the ball like 35 times a game, right? And as a result, we win games because the player makes plays and wins me games. I've got like a trophy wall. I'm like really good at this. Coach Stefanski was a two-time coach of the year because the players made plays. What's happening now, unfortunately, is they're not making plays, and he looks like a bad coach. If he got fired right now, he'd be hired tomorrow.
So
right?
Many cliches.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's again, I sign autographs on – like, I'm really good at what I do because I let my players make plays, and they make plays.
How hard do you yell at those little bastards?
Oh, no, man. I give them ice cream after the game. Everyone's a winner. It's so awesome.
All right. Enough of that guy. You wanted to do it all day.
I didn't think he'd swing in on the bit that hard.
I don't think he was prepared for anything beyond the 15 seconds that we gave him. I think he thought he was going to get run off, and you're like, let's see where you take this, man.
For a minute, I thought it was like a funny shot at Ken, maybe, because Ken is but then I was when I he we went that. To the 10 or 12 things, I was like, I think this guy might actually, this might not be a bit. This guy actually believes this. By the way, if your only defense of Kevin Stefanski is two-time coach of the year, which is an award that is voted on by people who do not cover every team every single game, that is problematic. What was the other defense of it? When he's had good players, he's won? Or did the players look good when they've won and all of a sudden look crappy when they've lost? It's a sign that the coach doesn't really have a lot to do with it. I don't think that's a great sign either.
Not a great sign.
I just think this pass that Stefanski gets is just wild to me. He's the only head coach in Cleveland Browns history. Like, guys, there were people...
That's the thing, though, is we're hanging on and we're clinging on to good. The same way some people clung on to what we perceived to be was good with J.B. Bickerstaff. I mean, it's not hard to see better days on the horizon. You just have to look at someone like Atkinson and see what the change has been there. You can get rid of good and make it a lot better.
Eddie and Westlake, what's up, buddy? What you got for us?
Hey, you know what? I think you guys. This is the thing. Yeah, I'm kind of torn because I really don't want to get rid of him after having this one bad year like this because he had a lot of stuff not going his way. But the other thing I'm torn about is if they continue to lose and quarterback is what they're taking early, then do you want Kevin Stefanski? I mean, at the end of the day, man, like there's been other big quarterbacks that look good in his system for a period of time, and then they fizzle out. I don't know. You know, like Baker Mayfield was looking good for a certain period of time, and then he didn't. And then you know, Flacco looked good. You know,
that's one too many.
I think we got what you're saying, though.
I actually think that's another one of the most overstated things.
That's the dangerous part of Stefanski, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah,
is that he shows you just enough, and he has players that show you just enough. You know it's good. It's not bad. But we go back to the same reason why they upgraded over Baker, or thought they were upgrading over Baker. Like, you, at some point, you need the guy to take you to the next level.
Well, and it's just, like, I just think the quarterback thing is like, guys, it's not that hard to make good quarterbacks. Like Jacoby Brissett, guys, he looked the same in Cleveland like he did in Indianapolis. And there's a reason Jacoby didn't get a starting job out of that one either. Like Baker. Baker's looked better in Tampa in his last 2 years than he did at his peak in Cleveland. Now, maybe that's not all on Kevin because...
There's some maturity there.
Well, there's some maturity. And let's be honest with you, Kevin was digging out of a crevasse of Baker having three different play callers and three different head coaches in his first 2 years. That is bird brain when it comes to development of a young quarterback. Stability is the best friend, so I'll give you that. But... okay, but then I can't give you the pass for Kevin making the decision to play on Baker when Baker wasn't playing well or when Baker was hurt. Like, guys, that is something that a real leader does. We've made it into this idea that Kevin isn't responsible for making the decision on guys' play. Well, it's just a doctor's decision. Yeah, that is a head coach decision. Like, if a head coach in other spots, if a head coach is like, well, the doctors have cleared him, but I don't think he can go, players don't play.
It's an all-encompassing thing, for sure it is.
And it's just so weird, like the things that you can hammer Kevin on, it's like, well, that's not his fault. Well, okay, then we're just not having an honest conversation about this because you are afraid of going back to Pat Shurmur.
Well, like, and that's the heart of it, right? That's the heart of it, is people are just, they're scared of going back to Pat Shurmur.
Like, good coaches aren't that hard to find in the NFL. That's just a sign of how dumb the Browns have been and how flawed their hiring processes have been for a very long time. Like, he's a good coach. And by the way, that narrative should change if he goes 2-15. It's hard. It is much easier to go 11-5 than it is to go 2-15 if you've been in a place for 5 years. That doesn't mean they automatically should fire him. But this idea that there's some sort of gilded seal for this guy, I just don't see it. 216-474-0092. Not going to do it. Is Kevin Stefanski, JB Bickerstaff for the Cleveland Browns. When we come back, we debuted it last week. We bring it back with a new name. It is time for The Narrative. Is that good? Is that good?
It was a big punch, I'll tell you that.
The Narrative with Jonathan Peterlin on 92.3 The Fan.
All right, back out of here on The Fan. It's time for The Narrative. I have talked to all my friends in the desert, Nick. We are going to give you the five best games and what the narrative is for each one attached to it, mixed in with some inside information and everything else.
So this is Big Mo, Skinny Pete, Left Eyed Pete, Other Pete.
We don't reveal names
of the friends
in the desert. They are friends in the desert. I don't want to keep them friends in the desert.
Now, I don't want to get buried in the desert.
But this is how Vegas is seeing these games. We'll see if you agree or if you don't. We start with Northwestern and Ohio State. Northwestern getting 30.5 points in this one. Over-under at 43.5. The narrative here, Ohio State is going to be looking ahead towards Indiana and Michigan. People, my friends in the desert are backing Northwestern. They're backing Northwestern hard on this one. Northwestern with the top 30 defense. They're looking to be bowl eligible. More Buckeye fans are complaining about noon kickoffs and focusing in on the game itself. Last year, Ohio State favored by 37.5 in this one. They only won by 14. You buy in the narrative, Ohio State already looking ahead towards Indiana and Michigan.
I don't think Ohio State is afraid of Indiana at all. And by the way, I don't think Michigan's something to look forward to this year. No, I think you're at the point of the season where the stress tests are done. Now it's just don't screw it up. Like, I don't think they would look at any of these next three games I know the Indiana one has some cachet on it because of the playoffs, but no, I don't think so. I think this team has kind of proven that they're kind of beyond that.
I wonder if Ryan Day is going to hold some stuff back, though.
Like what? An assault on Lou Holtz?
That would be nice. That'd be a good start, actually. If you could start there, Ryan Day, we might have something to build upon. All right, next up, it's the game of the weekend in college football. It's number 7, Tennessee versus number 12, Georgia. Tennessee, shockingly, they're getting 10 points here, Nick. They're the 7th-ranked team in the country, and they're getting 10 points. The narrative here, Vegas doesn't buy that Georgia has missed a step. Nick, in my mind, Carson Beck against one of the best defenses in the country, it doesn't seem like a fair fight. I like Carson Beck. I don't love Carson Beck. Georgia off an embarrassing loss. Tennessee's D-line is awesome. Carson Beck is seeing ghosts. Tennessee can't score against Georgia in this matchup, though, and that's what a lot of my friends in the desert are leaning towards. Do you buy the narrative that Vegas doesn't buy that Georgia has missed a step?
I think they're going fishing. I think they're trying to fish for some suckers here that people think Georgia's going to have a bounce-back game at home, that maybe last week. I think there are people who know, hey, Georgia's been this really good team. This is the anomaly. That kind of loss is the anomaly. I think they're fishing for suckers. That's what I think Vegas is doing.
What they're leaning on is the idea that Georgia's played the most difficult schedule in the entire country and arguably has two of the best wins any team in the country has. They're also leaning into the idea that Tennessee's starting quarterback might not even play in this game. But 10 points seems like an absolute ton to give the number seven team in the country.
I'd take Tennessee in the points. And listen, I think it's going to be a really close game.
Tennessee beat Alabama. Like, what are we doing?
And I don't think it's going to be a pretty game either. But yeah, if this game was closer to like maybe 5 points, I'd probably go in with the idea of I'll lay the points and take Georgia. No, I don't. Give me Tennessee and almost 10 points. Good Lord.
I can't remember the last time I've seen a number 7 team in the country getting 10 points. I'm sure it's happened, but I can't remember it. All right, Commanders, Eagles. Washington plus 3.5. I've seen some spots it's been bet down to even 3, which would make some sense. 48 is the over-under. The narrative here, the Eagles' defense is fraudulent. The Eagles' defense has been one of the top units in the league since its week 5 bye. The overall body of work, though, it becomes less impressive when you consider who they've faced. Deshaun Watson comes into play there. Daniel Jones comes into play there. Cooper Rush comes into play there. That's three really weak quarterbacks in that stretch that a lot of people are leaning on Vic Fangio's defense and saying they've turned this thing around. Washington fans believe that this is the best defense they're going to play on their side of the ball as well. You buy in the narrative that the sharps are putting out there. The Eagles defense is
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Actually fraudulent.
Yeah. I think the Eagles are actually underrated a little bit. Like, they're the most hated 7-2 team in America.
They're easy to hate, to be fair.
Yeah.
Their fans are obnoxious. Their head coach seems like he's Looney Tunes.
He's a dodo. But I do think, like, Jaden, this is a good matchup for Jaden. And I think this is going to be a much tougher matchup than, let's say, Cooper Rush.
Eagles' last four games have come against defenses that enter Week 11 ranked 26 or worse in DVOA. So they're getting it on both sides of the ball when it comes to the advantages for offense and defense. All right, we go to what might be the game of the weekend, the Chiefs and
Brown
the Bills.
Saints.
It's not Brown Saints. The narrative here, Mahomes loves being an underdog. Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, 11-3 as underdogs. He's got a .786 winning percentage as an underdog. It's almost as good as his career number. Sunday's the second time this year Chiefs have been underdogs. 49ers, 1.5-point favorites in San Francisco in Week 7. Chiefs obviously won that game 28-18. Are you buying the narrative out there that Mahomes loves being an underdog?
I'm sorry. 99% of the time, I would buy it. This week, you heard it here first. The Bills are going to win. Chiefs are going to have their first loss of the season. Yep.
I mean, we play with the underdog mentality again. Last year in the postseason, we watched them be underdogs in every game but the Super Bowl. Leading up to the Super Bowl, they were underdogs. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we continue to under... We just don't count for Patrick Mahomes.
This is going to be the one. This is going to be the one. He hasn't been as good this season. The defense is pretty darn good, but it's in Buffalo. Everything tells me this is going to be that rare dog loss for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I can't wait for this game. If they win this one, they might go 17-0. It might come down to whether they play the bye week hard in week 17, or week 18 for that matter. All right, last up, Baltimore-Pittsburgh. The spread right now is 3. This is a don't-play game for the book of Jonathan Peterlin, by the way. My friends in the desert are scared of this game. They want nothing to do with this game. They have no way of leaning on this game. The narrative that's been built up, though, Lamar Jackson stinks against the Steelers, and you've got to account for it. 1-3 record, four touchdowns, zero rushing touchdowns, seven picks, five fumbles, 59% completion percentage, and a 66 passer rating. Nick, you buying the narrative out there that Lamar Jackson stinks against Pittsburgh?
It's a small sample size, but I think you got to pay attention to it because the Steelers are the kind of team that you end up having troubles with in the playoffs. That is, if they have a good quarterback. I think the Steelers are going to win this one. I think this is only going to hammer home that Tomlin's better than Harbaugh and that the Steelers know how to rattle Lamar.
A reminder, a complete no bet for the Jonathan Peterlin book. You cannot bet on this game. And if you're going to, take the points, even though I believe the Ravens are better. It's an AFC North game. How am I gonna just slap 3.5 points potentially in the face?
The Jonathan Peterlin book. And that is the narrative with Jonathan Peterlin.
Is that a Pharrell on the bench?
I don't know.
That was Pharrell on the bench.
Well, every guy who has his own book has some sort of voice like this. So it probably sounds like Pharrell, but I meant it just. It's a book, guys. That's what they do. The radio book guys.
It was Pharrell.
We kind of skimmed over this yesterday. There were some interesting comments by Jordan Hicks on JOK's injury. And, of course, JOK gets hurt in, what was that, the Baltimore game. Then he goes ahead. He's obviously misses the Chargers game and then ends up on the IR. There's now a chance we might not see him the rest of the year. And then Jordan Hicks said this yesterday and got people super concerned.
Yeah, no, it was tough because, you know, we play this game because we love it. We sacrifice our bodies for it. We understand the risks that are involved in it. But at the end of the day, you know, you see something like that and it's real life. You know, I look at my life and I've got three kids and a wife at home and it's like, what if I were to come home like that? You know, he's got family that he loves, you know, people that care about him more than just what he can do on the field, right? And so it puts things in perspective and, you know, you hope and you pray that, you know, he's going to make a miraculous recovery.
So it's not just using words like miraculous. It's not just kind of setting this up as being a lot scarier. I think it's a fact that it's, what, 2 or 3 weeks removed from the injury that we're hearing these comments. And we didn't really hear anything like this 3 weeks ago when the injury first happened.
Yeah.
It was silence on Main Street.
Yeah, well, and we're still very much in the dark right now. That's kind of the hard part about talking about this is like we're trying to figure it all together. When he speaks the way that he speaks, though, and says words like miraculous, you're wondering, what do we not know right now, Nick?
Yeah, and there's just, the things that bug me with this organization are, I continue to have to come back to this expression, it doesn't have to be that hard. And for some reason, whether it's deciding who makes the decision on whether a guy plays or not, it's always a player's decision. And then Jed conveniently gets benched after making the player decision, which was to not play when he was not 100%.
Yeah.
But again, those two things weren't linked. We would never do that sort of thing. or whether it's just how they like express injuries.
Like, how about Deshaun last year?
Like, this is, listen, it's not unheard of. Because Deshaun, the Baker thing, actually like 3 points with a Deshaun injury.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, and down to the players on the team didn't even know what was going on with the injuries. But like they misled us and often in that whole entire discussion.
Or they didn't know what was going on. Like, it doesn't have to be this hard. And it's just so like, listen, I'll be honest with you. That is a piece of information. If JOK's career's in danger, that is something that I think that Browns fans deserve to know. And I don't know why you would shield that information. And now the obvious thing is, well, we want to protect the player. I don't think you protect the player by not being truthful or forthcoming with the injury. And the I don't know thing is fine, but at least admitting that this could be a long-term serious injury or cost him his career, we shouldn't be finding this stuff out through the locker room.
Yeah, I didn't even consider the idea that it would cost him his career. And now these are the conversations we're having. I mean, that's alarming.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like, I continue to come back to, this is absolutely the case of failing on a pretty significant level. Like, we used to chide the Browns for majoring in the minor. Well, this is failing at your major. Like, this is one of four things that we can grade you on is the dissemination of information when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious, why do they believe we don't deserve the right to know this?
Or whether they're afraid of saying the wrong thing. It's not that hard. And it's not uncommon that one thing, right? Like Ron Rivera at the end of his time in Carolina, there was a weird situation with Cam's foot. But Cam was trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cam was going to play and then played, and clearly he wasn't healthy enough to play. So that's not the same thing as, We don't know if he's going to play or not. That's not the same thing as we don't know what the injury is. Like, it's just, and there's one player every year at least. This year it's Jed, now JOK. Last year it was Deshaun. I can probably think of more than one player a year, by the way. And it's just like,
yeah,
why?
Even thinking about like the weird timeline around Nick Chubb even, right? Like, there was a lot of vagueness attached to Nick Chubb and his timeline.
Like, I just don't understand it, and I would like to understand it, because I give you a pass. If you could make it intelligible to me.
I think we have like three different guys in the offensive line entering this year where the timeline seemed really weird and not right and murky.
But it just, and the fact that it's at a player who I really like and respect, like as a person, love what he stands for.
Should be a cornerstone of this team moving forward.
And I think he has become, in short order, a very big fan favorite. Man, it was the first thing, like, well, okay, the first thing was concern for JOK personally. Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Football secondary. I agree with everybody who said that. And the second thing was, good God, again? Like, it doesn't have to be. Like, that, because what that paints to me is that you just don't have everything wrapped up the way you should. That paints to some level of dysfunction or lack of communication. And that is a sign of an organization that is in over its head. And I don't like that we're saying that about guys who've been here for now 5 years. We'll get back to the JOK stuff, obviously, as we get more information, if that ever happens. One final segment of the show, in case we missed it, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.